Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the 1% Christian. My name is Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, and this is the Bible study where we get together. We spend about 1% of our day diving in the Word, learning more about God, praying together, and then what we do is we head out into the world for the remaining 99% of our day. And I believe that each of us takes a little bit of what we learn here and applies it and makes the world a better place. So I'm excited to start John chapter 4 with you today. Before we get going, I want to invite you to download the Sound of Heaven mobile app. We launched this recently, our awesome staff at Sound of Heaven, and there is a free digital Bible on there, a lot of other great resources as well. So check that out. You can also go to soh.church to learn more about Sound of Heaven. And if you are listening to this on any platform where podcasts are found, I do ask you to please give it a like, give it a share, invite somebody to the stream, even if they start from the beginning. Hopefully they will, and work their way through. We're going through the Gospel of John, and it's been a heck of a journey. We're more than a week in right now, and if I can admit, one of the challenges maybe I didn't foresee is looking at these chapters and all the things that we can pull out. God's Word is such a deep, deep well. And if you know anything about me, I like to be thorough. But what I really had to come to terms with was that if I could explain the creator of the universe to you in 15 minutes, most likely he wouldn't be God. So we go into this with the understanding that we are going to dive in the Word together, learn a little bit, and I hope that it encourages you, because if you're getting a lot out of this study, I'll tell you, we could go all the way through the Gospel of John, go ahead and start at John 1 again, and just draw from it each and every day going forward. It's like God's Word never stops giving us new knowledge and new revelation. So awesome. So John 4 is the account of Jesus and the woman at the well. And this has so many parallels in so many ways to what we are going through today from a cultural perspective. And I do want to hit on that as we start our study. And I want to give some historical background at some point here, because I think it's going to set the stage of what an absolute miracle it is for Jesus to have this encounter, just in his time, to have this encounter with this woman, because there were a lot of cultural barriers. And what we see even in our society today is that we have our differences, we have our disagreements, and what we do is we create these barriers between one another, and as time goes by, those barriers get higher and higher and higher until somebody steps in and tries to knock those barriers down. We saw that with the great Reverend Martin Luther King, and I'm believing in the name of Jesus that we're going to get into a season where some of those barriers are being knocked down. So let's start reading out of John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John — I don't know why they want to pit Jesus and John the Baptist against each other. They keep doing that. And it says, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So this is a place of great historical significance for Israel. So Jesus, wearied from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. Okay, so Jesus, wearied from his journey, just like you and I, who tired from a day of work. Jesus is walking from one place to another, and he goes into Samaria. Let's continue. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me for a drink from me?" Okay. So I want to just get into the historical background. By the way, reading the Bible and understanding the context, one of the major aspects to understanding the scripture that you're reading is getting a little background on the history, right? That and understanding the audience relevance. What do I mean by that? Understanding that it's either a letter that's written to a specific people, or understanding who Jesus is talking to. See, when we can understand those things first, it's easier for us to then take and apply it properly to our life. Maybe we'll dive into that a little more at a different time. But I want to hear for a moment, just talk about the relationship between Israel and the Samaritans. See, there was really, really bad blood there, okay? And we can go all the way back to the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we find Israel splits into two separate nations, the north and the south, and they despised one another. They had separate and competing temples. One side actually cut out the Jewish books of poetry and prophecy, and then something bad happens. Okay, the Assyrians come in, okay, and another nation comes in and conquers them both, exiles almost everybody, and the Gentile colonists that come in from Babylon and the surrounding areas, they bring their pagan idols and their other ways of false worship, and the Jewish people that are left there, they actually start worshiping both the false gods and then trying to worship the true God as well. And what they begin to do is start to intermarry with the Gentiles that were there. These were the Samaritans. And that's why hundreds of years later, during the time of Jesus, the Jewish people would call the Samaritans dogs and half-breeds. And to make matters worse over the years, hundreds and hundreds of years before, when Nehemiah, if you know who Nehemiah was, he was in exile, and he gets the right from the king to go back and to rebuild the temple. Well, there was a group of people that tried to stop him from rebuilding the temple, stood in his way. He would be building, they would be tearing it down. Those were the Samaritans. So when I tell you that there was no love lost between the Jewish people and the Samaritans for centuries, what is going on is Jewish children and Samaritan children are being born, they're growing up, and they're dying, being told, those people don't like you. They're bad people. They want to hurt you. And here's what they did. And now, mind you, none of them who are alive during Jesus's time went through the whole thing that I just mentioned. That is way before. But they're here calling them each other dogs, half-breeds, oppressors, you're evil. And we see even our time today divided in a similar way. Remember, Solomon said it like this: there's nothing new under the sun. The only thing new ever that was under the sun was Jesus, God in the flesh. And now that's been replicated over and over. Why? Because you and I have Jesus's spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Israelites in the time of Jesus would not even walk through Samaria. What they would do is they would walk around and avoid the area. But meanwhile, you ask an Israelite probably, hey, you ever deal with a Samaritan? And they would say, of course not. You know what they did to us? And you'd say, hey, the people in that village, they did something to you? And they'd say, well, not me personally, you know, but look at their history, right? So you ever have a fight with one? And they'd probably be like, well, no, not really. Maybe one time I thought somebody said something. And you know how that goes, right? We build up these things in our mind, and then they end up just compounding. And they make us hate each other. So they hated the people that they disagreed with. They were told for centuries that they were unclean, and they tried to avoid them. So this relationship between these communities had absolutely no chance until Jesus entered the scene. Okay? Let's keep on reading here. And the Samaritan woman, like I said, said, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for me a drink from me? And Jesus answers her, okay, and says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman says, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. So she's making the connection between the Samaritans and the Israelites even long before they had that breakup. And Jesus says this, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, pointing to the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I give will never be thirsty. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said, sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. I want to touch back on here what Jesus did. Because just like Jesus embraced the tax collectors, just like he ate with the sinners, he was willing to walk right into Samaria, and he did. And this woman at the well was shocked. You'll see probably tomorrow when Jesus' disciples return, when they see him talking to the woman, they were shocked. They couldn't believe it that Jesus would just walk in there, but he did. That's what God does. Jesus went where others would not be willing to go. And that's what I want to leave you with today as we, you know, come up on our 1% here, is that the gospel changes everything. The good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that if you would just believe in him, you shall not perish but have eternal life. The good news that God loves everybody, not just a small group of people. Back then, the Jewish people, today, just the Christian people, that God loves everyone. It makes a way in a culture full of hurt and disagreement and conflict. It makes a way for reconciliation. And if you meditate on anything today, maybe it's that if we want to be Christians, we want to be more like replicas of Jesus and not knockoffs. People want real. And we've got to get more so in the reconciliation business. I want to read another scripture to you, which is out of 2 Corinthians. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Does it sound familiar? We've been studying this for a few days now. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. God changes you from the inside out. God will allow you to be born again, not just physical existence, hanging on earth and waiting to die, but born alive on the inside from God's Spirit. And that's what it means to be born again. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Our God is a God of reconciliation. He's a God that loved us enough to make a way for us. And now we have the opportunity to also operate as his ambassadors here, being that ministry and minister of reconciliation. I love the fact that Jesus engages the woman at the well and says, can I have a drink? She had the opportunity to quench the thirst of the Savior, to quench the thirst on earth of the creator of the universe. And if you think about how beautiful this is in terms of being just what we are able to do, I think about ways that we could be ministers of reconciliation here. I keep bringing up the term forgiveness, forgiving one another, loving people, even those that don't love us back, giving a kind word instead of just being so sharp and nasty. You know, it's interesting with the internet, right? You used to have to look somebody in the face to insult them. Now all you got to do is hit send and that's it. But we need to be the light in this world to other people? How can we quench Jesus's thirst today? What did he say in Matthew? I'll tell you. He says, "What you do for the least of these, you do for me." Jesus gives a parable and the people say, "Lord, when did I give you water? When did I give you food? When did I visit you in prison?" And Jesus said, "What you did for the least of these, you do for me." So how do you quench the thirst of Jesus? Is maybe you grab a couple bottle of waters and you hit the street. When you find somebody who's down on their luck, somebody who's homeless, you give them something to drink. And if you think about it in the context of this story here, you know, the Jews would walk around the Samaritans and around Samaria, and the Samaritans would say, "Oh, they don't want to walk around us because they don't want to be near us. They despise us." And the Jewish people would look at the Samaritans and say, "Ugh, I'm not going near those people. Those people are unclean and dirty." But Jesus walked right in there. And you think about the homeless person on the street, who for all day long, people have been walking around them like God's people used to walk around Samaria. But Jesus walked right to them. And that's how you can be like Jesus. You walk right to them. You go into the places that other people are not willing to go, and you bring the light to the darkness. Amen. You be a minister of reconciliation. That's what we're going to pray today. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you that you are a reconciler, that you've given us an opportunity to draw close to you despite our own imperfections. Father, help us in our own ministry of reconciliation to show people that there is a better way, that there is a way to you, Lord God. And if we would all commit to this, the world would be such a better place. We wouldn't have a cancel culture. We would have a forgiveness culture, Lord. Help us to be the catalyst of those things. And we believe that this can happen in Jesus' mighty name. My name is Pastor J.D. Ambrosio. You're listening to the 1% Christian. Keep coming. Tomorrow, we're going to dive deeper into chapter 4, more of Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well. Love you guys. See you tomorrow.